many of you were here for December 20th? That was our kind of Christmas Sunday. Okay, and didn't you enjoy the Brown family? Yeah! They got pipes, baby. They got pipes. They can sing, even if we had problems with microphones. It was really good. And we also had a blast laughing. I can still see this, the bells. I see that in my head, and I just start laughing. Gosh, that was so much fun. It was a fun day, but probably what you may not know, the best part about that day is four people received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I went home and I cried just like this. I was like, God, you're so awesome. And you may not know, the week before, we had one person receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Two people received the infilling with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. I mean, we're in revival, folks. You bring them, I'll preach. Or else I'll throw them on the side and we'll just tie them down. Okay. But having said all of that, I am convinced that probably half the people that come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they really don't know what they get. I'm going to say that again. They really don't know what they get. And I believe that they're not fully aware of what has just happened on the inside of them. I'll tell you, I didn't. I got born again, received Jesus, oh my gosh, 40 years ago. Whew. And I tell you what, I really wasn't too sure what happened, except for everybody was smiling afterwards. So most people, though, they are aware, after they've said that prayer, they are aware, most of them are aware, that their sins have been forgiven. And that's great. I'm glad they're aware that their sins have been forgiven. But if that's all you get, if that's all you get, is your sins are forgiven, to me, it's like a person who has a four-speed car. It's been about 40 years since that happened. Four-speed car. Anybody ever have one of those, a stick shift? Okay. How many of you have never been the driver in a stick shift? Oh, you missed some excitement. But listen, okay, I'll tell you a story later. But if all you know is that your sins are forgiven, that's all you know, you're like the person in that stick shift, and all you've got it is in first gear. That's all you got it in, because that's all you know, first gear. All right? Now, let me tell you a funny story. My mom and my dad, they were living together in New Jersey, and I was there that summer, and my mom decided she was going to take my younger siblings to California, because that's where my mom was from. So that meant it was just my dad and me. And dad didn't need a car, because he walked literally up to the top of the block and took a bus into Manhattan for 37 years. Guy didn't have to drive. You didn't want to drive with them either sometimes. So that my mom took my dad's car. And you know what she left me with that summer to drive? Because I didn't own a car. I was still in college. I think it was my first summer. Yep. She left me with a Volkswagen stick shift. And she says, oh, honey, you need to learn how to drive this. Oh, no, I'm not driving that. Like, duh, she's taking the car. This is what you're having. Talk about living happy in denial. So finally, my mom leaves. She says, I have given you, girl, a lot of opportunities to learn how to drive this car. Now, here's the keys. OMG. Now, I have a younger brother who gave me a crash course. He's 6 years younger. So you know what he's been doing for years, driving the car in the driveway. It's crazy. So I did get a crash course. But you talk about... that summer, I worked as a lifeguard in a huge complex of 3,000 people, and I would drive to work. I was supposed to drive to work nicely every day, and there was only one way to get there, and it involved a hill with a light. There was no other way. There was no other way to get to work. And I want to tell you, I was praying in tongues. I was given sign language, move back. Because I just would roll back and then I'd jam gears. So it was quite exciting. It was quite exciting. So that's my fun story. But, there's a lot of people that are driving just in first gear because all they know, my sins are forgiven. And you know what? You can get kind of frustrated if that's all you know. If that's all you know is your sins are forgiven, I will tell you, you're going to go through life a little slow. You'll probably get through life, but a little slow, a little loud, and a whole lot frustrated because we have more in Jesus. Everybody say more. Now, a large percentage of people who receive Jesus know, they're going to heaven, but they know that, but then you'd be surprised how many people you ask them and they go, well, now they've prayed that prayer, but they're more like, I'm hoping. They don't understand. They're just hoping I'm going to heaven someday. So we have a bunch that really knows, but we got a bunch. They've prayed that prayer, but they're just kind of hoping, all right? They don't really know. So that's why John wrote in 1 John. 1 John, that's on your piece of paper here. 1 John 5. All right. I got two Bibles going here today. I'm going to read that. 1 John 5. 11, here we go. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. Now, this is what I want to get to. I write this to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know, underline that word, know, you have eternal life. You may know. So John is saying, hey, guys, you ought to know you have eternal life. You ought to know that. Now, can you imagine Jesus who died the worst death ever? Now, oh, Pastor, I know people who've died really horrible deaths. No, you don't. He died the worst death ever because not only was just a horrific torture, but he took all sin upon him. He took all disease upon him, okay? And he took that on the cross for us. And Isaiah says that he was so beaten and bruised that you couldn't even tell it was a man hanging on that cross, all right? I don't like blood and guts, okay? Ugh. So how sad would it be if our Jesus died on a cross, that horrible death, and all you know is that I had my sins forgiven, but I'm not really sure if I'm going to heaven? That's kind of sad, okay? I think that's sad. And there's a lot of people, and I'll tell you what, I was one of those after I received Jesus. I really didn't know a whole lot, and I was one of those. Now, what I think is really serious is that most confessing Christians, so they may know their sins are forgiven, and they may know they're going to heaven, but you know what they don't know? They don't know that there's something new that happened on the inside. There's something new that happened on the inside. There's something that changed on the inside. And there's just a ton of people that go, well, I'm hoping I go to heaven, but I don't know anything else. I don't know anything. I don't know about what happened on the inside. And I want to tell you, that's a shame because you don't understand what's deposited inside of you and who you are. So I want to talk about that today. Now, the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that. You know, the Apostle Paul, he just knew the nuts and bolts of what it was to be new on the inside, more so than the 12 disciples that hung out with Jesus, all right? He really knew how to get around. He just knew this stuff. And he writes to the church at Corinth, and they're having little church squabbles. They're misbehaving. They're kind of in a lot of strife and arguing. They're just being bad, right? And he writes to them, I think it's in like 1 Corinthians 3. It's okay, you can look it up later. And he says to them, this is the important part. Hey, you guys, don't you know that you're not a mere man anymore? Mere man? Don't you know, since you've received Jesus, you're not a mere man. You're somebody new. And he reams them out. So there's a lot of us and people that, now I'm sure all of you know this, but can you explain this? And then you might be here and you were like me. It was like a decade till I understood this. But Paul is saying, hey, now that you have received Jesus, you're not just this mere human being anymore. There's something different. So I think we need to find out what happened, or else we're just going to be frustrated in life. Matter of fact, life is just going to wipe us out. So that's what we're going to talk about, what's new on the inside. So the first thing we have to understand is who we really are. So if you're looking over at Genesis chapter 1, who are we really now on the inside since I've received Jesus? Who am I really now? So Genesis 1 says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, do you know it says let us? Let us. Do you know who the us is? It's the Trinity. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the us. So it's let us. And then the second part, you have to read it again. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Image and likeness. So firstly, you know what I believe that says? God has a head. He's got eyeballs. He's got arms. He's got feet. Okay, he has a body, and we look like him bodily. We look like him bodily. Let us make him in our image, right, and likeness. So that's firstly. Secondly, I believe that we are created as a three-part being, just like God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I believe there's three parts, and I'm going to prove it to you. So prove it to me, Pastor D. Three parts. Open up to 1 Thessalonians, would y'all? 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, may the God of peace, I am so glad my God is a God of peace. Whew. Okay? Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you, or that means set you apart. May the God of peace set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see the three parts? Spirit. I'm not making this up. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? That's what he's saying about us. Now, what I really find fascinating, that was a New Testament scripture. But you can also find spirit, soul, and body in the Old Testament. Turn, if you look at Daniel, I think they're just going to throw that up on the screen. I don't know. Whatever. I got it here. Daniel 7:15. Okay? In the book of Daniel, Daniel says this after he had a vision. Daniel's talking after he had a vision, and it's going to sound like the New Testament. He says this, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit with my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I'm going to talk about what head is, because that's your soul, in just a few minutes, all right? So your handout, ta-da, says man is a three-part being. Man is a three-part being. Now, sometimes you'll see spirit. By the way, you're a spirit. All right, your spirit. Sometimes you'll see, as you read through the Bible, it'll say heart. What's the next one? Innermost being or hidden man of the heart. Those are terms that you'll read in your Bible that talk about your spirit. It's okay. The next one is soul. We love the soul. The soul. So we are a spirit and we have a soul. And the soul says right here, it's made up of our mind, will, and emotions. Now, if we look at Daniel, he said his head. Did you remember saying his head? Well, the head is where your soul is. The head is where your soul is. Some people think the soul is right down here. It's not. The soul is this, your mind. Where do you keep your mind? Up here. Where do your emotions start? It starts in your head, okay? Your mind, will, and your emotions, okay? Now, you all know this. If you start thinking good thoughts, you're going to have good feelings. You start thinking wrong kinds of thoughts, you're going to get downed and depressed. That's your soul, guys. That's your soul. So your feelings are tied up with your thinking. And that's why Philippians 4 says you can have peace, but you got to start thinking on good stuff. Okay? If you're not having peace, you must be thinking on some bad stuff. So you can have peace, but you've got to do something. What do you have to do to have peace? Start thinking good thoughts. All right? So that has to do with our soul. All right? The soul is made up of our mind, our will, and emotions. And the last one is body. We all know about the body, don't we? Man, we know about the body. You get up in the morning and you have morning breath. You run and brush your teeth. That's your body, right? Or, man, I'm just starved. Who's talking? Your body's talking, right? Your body tells you you're tired, so you smack down that snooze button, right? We are really a body-conscious people, aren't we? We are. All right? Now, this handout says the body, another word you'll find written in your Bible says, it'll say your flesh, the outer man, the tent, or a tabernacle. Now, do you know what a tent or a tabernacle is? Do you know what they're talking about? Do you know what that means? They're not talking about the one you buy at Dick's Sporting Goods, okay? They're calling this body a tent or a tabernacle. And that simply means it's temporary. This body that you've got right now is temporary, all right? It's not going to last forever. Someday God's going to raise you up and give you a new body, a spiritual body, a new body. And I am going to look forward to that new body because, you know, that it's not going to get me in trouble. It's not going to get me cussing when someone cuts me off. I'm really looking forward to this new body. I might just be a size. I used to say 2, but I thought that was ridiculous. So how about a 6? Now you know I'm not a size 6, okay? So I'm looking forward to a new body. But what I really want you to see is you have to learn you are 3 parts. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this body. Because if you don't know that you're a 3-part being, you're not going to appreciate what Jesus has done on the inside of you. You're not going to get it, all right? So now, do you know, how many of you know, the spirit and the soul are different? Your spirit and your soul, they're different. It's interesting, though. I've listened to some preachers on TV. I really go online a lot, and I listen to preachers. And this one guy, I'm like, buddy, that's not the spirit. I was ready to do a write-in. He was talking about the soul. Sometimes people mix them up. That's why you need to know the difference. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. All right? Now, Hebrews 4:12. Let's look at that. Say, hallelujah, I found it. Hebrews 4:12. Hallelujah. I found it. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the what? And the what? Yeah. All right. Now, how many of you ever bought a whole chicken? A whole chicken. All right. And I decide I want to cut it up. All right. So I'm going to start. By the way, I got two new knives for Christmas. And I walked around with Band-Aids on my thumbs for a whole week. Those babies were sharp. That's all I wanted. I wanted two knives, these special knives. So, all right. So anyway, back to my story. I don't have Band-Aids. I'm getting really good at this. So you get a whole chicken, and I want to cut it up. And I'm going to cut the breast meat from the thigh. I'm going to cut it apart. I'm going to separate it. Now, do you know the breast meat tastes a whole lot different than the thigh meat? They're totally different, aren't they? They're totally, how many of you like dark meat? Oh, man, I like dark meat. Okay. The rest of you guys, you're just eating healthy. All right. So you take your knife and you can separate it. Well, this scripture here says the Word of God separates spirit from soul. It divides them. It cuts them apart. Now, listen, they're closely connected like that chicken, right? They're closely connected, but they're different, right? You dark meat lovers. They're different. So soul and spirit, they're different. And you need to understand that or you're going to have some problems. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Now, most people are aware of their bodies, right? Okay. And their bodies, that's all we really think about. Such as, now, this is one of my weaknesses. You drive by Burger King and my body's going Whopper, cheese, and fries. All right. My body is kind of leading it. Okay, how about this one? How many of you, don't raise your hand, set your alarm clock on a Sunday night to the very last second to get up to go to work? Yep. And you know what? Why? Because your body is saying, I'm tired, sleep, right? That's why you do that. And then you sleep in, and about 2 hours later, your body is saying, I'm starving. So you try appeasing your stomach, and you throw in some gum. Okay? Listen, we think a lot about our bodies, don't we? So let me ask this question, just to take a little left turn on this. We are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, and we probably think more about our body. All right, we think about that. So why do people put spiritual things last? The spirit last. Why do people do that? Well, let me tell you, I got the answer. The reason why we do that, people do that, is because you're dead. You're spiritually dead. And being spiritually dead just didn't happen today when you woke up. Being spiritually dead happened when Adam sinned in the garden and disobeyed God. The spirit, remember, we're a spirit. We have a soul. We live in this body. Adam's spirit died when he sinned in the garden and disobeyed God. And not only did Adam and Eve become spiritually dead, all of us did. Thank you very much, Adam and Eve. All of us did. We died right along with them. Actually, they guaranteed our destiny. They guaranteed our destiny because of what they did. That's what happened to us. Now, that's why a lot of people have problems. They go, well, you know, how do we go to heaven? You know, they think it's about being good and earning, doing things and earning brownie points. And they go, well, you know, listen, my great granny, she was just a really decent kind of lady. She did this, this, and this, you know, so don't you think she should go to heaven? Guys, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead, okay? And you can't go to heaven if you're spiritually dead. And this is why you need to know this, so that you know that you know, and then you can tell people. so you can help them, all right? So they're spiritually dead. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. I'm going to throw this up. Well, you have it on your paper. This is a really neat translation. It's called Septuagint. I had to practice that. Septuagint. I'm going to read this out of here. This is written. Well, actually, it's the oldest transcript for the Old Testament. It's the oldest transcript, okay? And it was written and translated, it was translated by about 70 Jewish scholars, and it's very accurate. It's very accurate. Now, I love just reading the Message Bible. It's just what I read when I just don't want to think all the way. It's just, they just have common terms and stuff like that, but it's not always accurate. So this version is absolutely accurate. All right, so Genesis 2:17, it says, "And the Lord gave a charge to Adam, saying, of every tree which is in the garden for food, though, or you may have eaten of it. But from this tree that you may know good and evil, you may not eat of it. And on the day you eat of it, by death you shall die." That's kind of a weird way of saying that. Look at that. By death you shall die. It's kind of interesting. Now, if you have the King James, this is what it's going to say. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right? But that's not what it says in the original. It says, by death you shall die. And there's another translation. It's called the Spurrell. And it says, by dying you shall die. By dying, you shall die. Or the other one, by death, you shall die. Do you see we got two deaths going on? Look at that. Number them. By dying, put a number one on top of that. You shall die. Put a number two there. How many deaths do we got going on? Two. Okay, now let's look back at Adam and it'll make sense. Adam was created in the garden and God breathed life into him, right? He breathed life into him. But Adam went from life to death. Adam went from life to death. He actually went the wrong way. Okay? Now, he was born out of life into death. So he died first in the garden spiritually. In the garden, he died spiritually first. So on those, by dying you shall die, you should write that above it. First one, first is spiritually. Now, Adam didn't die after he sinned. Adam didn't immediately drop dead on the ground physically, did he? How many of you know he lived to be about 930 years? He lived to be 930 years, okay? So what we see is he died spiritually. He died spiritually. The moment Eve and he ate of the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God, he died spiritually first. So spiritual death comes before physical death. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as though through one man, Adam, therefore, just as though through one man, Adam, sin entered to the world." Sin entered the world. "And death through sin, and thus death spread to all." So here's my question. It's not a hard one. Why do sinners sin? Why do sinners sin? Well, because they're dead. They're spiritually dead. Okay? They're spiritually dead. That's all they know. All right? Now, let me give you an example. If your body, for real, if your body's dead over here, can it talk? Can it walk? Okay, so if you're physically dead, it can't do these things, right? Now, if you're spiritually dead here, you're really limited on the things you should do. Because you're spiritually dead. All right. Now, some of you are looking like, "Pastor D, what planet are you from?" I know this is a new way of thinking. For some of us, we're kind of got this Western thinking going on. But as we looked at the Old Testament, The saints in the Old Testament knew what dead mean meant. Knew what dead meant. Yeah. They knew what dead meant. We think when we say someone's dead, they stopped, they ceased to exist. But the original in the Old Testament, you know what dead meant? Do you know what it meant? Didn't mean stop to exist. It says they were just cut off. They were cut off. All right. Now, Isaiah talks about Jesus and it says, Isaiah 53:8, for he was cut off from the land of the living. This is Jesus. Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus was cut off from life when he hung on that cross and he took our sins. That's what happened to Jesus. He died. That's what it meant. He was cut off. All right. Cut off. So when we say someone's dead spiritually, their body's still yapping, okay? But spiritually, they're dead. They've been cut off. And that word cut off means to be separated from life. Even worse or better, what are you looking at? To be separated from God. So that scripture in Isaiah, it says, and Jesus was cut off. He was separated the day he took sin on him. He was separated from God. Oh my gosh, you talk about laying on the floor and just cry. So if you're spiritually dead, guess what? You are separated from God. You're separated from, now this gets good, by the way. Right now you're going, oh crud, let's get out of here. All right. Okay. So when we are separated, we're separated from God, we're cut off from God. So why can't spiritually, why can't people do things spiritually? Because they're dead. We have a big joke, you know, well, don't get upset with the world acts like that. That's all, they're spiritually dead. That's all they know how to do. That's who they are. They're spiritually dead and they're going to do bad, dumb, and terrible things because they're spiritually dead. They can't get a hold of the spiritually life yet. Okay. Matter of fact, because they're spiritually dead, they can't hear spiritual things. Because they're spiritually dead, they can't see spiritual things. Because they're spiritually dead, you know what? They can't love like someone who has their spirit full of life. Someone who's received Jesus. Someone who's received Jesus and has this life in them. Okay? They can't do that. They can't love that big. Because why? They're spiritually dead. Alrighty? Now, moving right on. Okay? Doing good deeds can't save you and it can't get you to heaven. Alright? Because that's not the issue. The issue is you're spiritually dead and you need to be reborn. You need to get life. You need to get life. Okay? So why did Jesus die on the cross for all of us? He came to bring life where there was death. Why did Jesus die? He came to give actually brand new life because we were spiritually dead. Matter of fact, we were all spiritually dead. Now, the people, when Jesus went around telling everybody he was going to do this, he'd say all the time, I am the light. You know, he would just tell everybody and they didn't get it. Everywhere he went, they didn't get it. The world didn't get it. And it amazes me the Jewish people didn't get it. And they had the Old Testament. So they didn't get it. Matter of fact, all they thought is, you need to get brownie points, you need to keep the law, and that's how you can go to heaven. So Jesus, open up to John chapter 3. Jesus one day has a guest come and visit, excuse me, one night. One night Jesus has a guest come and visit him. He's one of the, as you research a little bit, he's one of the three richest people in Jerusalem at that time. He's one of the leading leaders. He's like top dog. Okay, and the Bible says his name is Nicodemus. Everybody hear about the story about Nicodemus? All right, we'll open up to John chapter 3. I'm going to get there. All right, John chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading at verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi or teacher, we know you're a good teacher. You come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. You know what I hear? This is Nicodemus. He's just rattled at the mouth here, okay? And I love Jesus. Jesus, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying, Nick, you're not born again. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. Nick, you're not born again. You can't hear spiritual things. You don't understand what God's talking about. All right? Now, I remember it was a year after Jack and I got married. We had just spent 1 year up at Penn State, and we went out to Tulsa for the summer, dropped off all our stuff, and we went to visit all my relatives in California because we didn't have a place to live for 30 days. So what do? Mooch off the relatives. It was great. And this was my mom's side of the family. So we're finally end up at my grandmother. At that time, she's 80 years old. And Sunday comes. Now, I am born again, I'm spirit-filled, and I'm still not too sure who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. I am a baby in Christ, okay? But Grammy says, she gets up, and I thought, oh, golly gee whiz. Grammy, are you going to church this morning? I'll take you. I didn't really want to go with her, okay? But I'll take you, because you know where Grammy went to church? She went to the Catholic Church. All right, so I take her, and I'm not even sure if Jack went with me. I bet you he copped out and had a good excuse. So I'm sitting in this Catholic church in the Mass, and I grew up in the Catholic denomination. It's been years and years since I've been in there, and I'm sitting, and all of a sudden, I start hearing, and I start seeing. I'm telling you, I was probably about 25 years old then, and for the first time, I'm sitting in the Catholic Mass, and they do read scriptures, you guys. Maybe not a lot, like I'm machine gunning you today, but I sat there, and I could see and I can hear. You know why? Because I had life in me, and for the first time, I could go to that place, all right? Now, people who are spiritually dead, they don't hear spiritual truths. They may hear it. Like I used to go, I never missed Mass. I was just one of those good ones. I never missed Mass. I don't care if I went and partied and threw up. I got my butt to church. Okay? And I would go, and I would go, and I'd hear, rah, 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 but I couldn't hear spiritual truth. People who are spiritually dead, they can't see the truth. They can't hear the truth. All right, that's what's the problem going on in there. So this is why it's super really important that if God starts dealing on your heart, you hear the preaching of the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit comes along and starts working on your heart, you need to quickly say, I will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do that. Because I want to tell you something, in case you don't know, sinners, people who are spiritually dead, don't wake up and say, oh my gosh, it's January 10th. I think I've decided to go get born again. They don't do that. Really, they don't. You know what has to happen? The gospel has to go forth first. The word has to go forth first. And then the Holy Spirit starts working on that. Then he starts working on your heart. Okay? That's how people come to know the Lord. All right? So, in conclusion, spiritually dead people, they can't see and they can't hear spiritual things. And I was spiritually dead for about 20 some odd years, all right? So getting back to Nicodemus. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't get it. You can't because you don't have this new birth. And Nicodemus is going, what? What's he talking about? And then verse 4. Nicodemus says this, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, duh, of course he can't do that. Duh, all right? Jesus wasn't saying that, but you know what? Nicodemus is thinking body. He's thinking body. He's not thinking spirit, I'm not even sure he's stinking with his head either, okay? All right, that's why he couldn't get it. So Jesus says, unless one is born of water and spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. So number one, you have to be born physically, boom, okay? And then you have to be born spiritually. That's what Jesus was saying. You have to have a spiritual birth or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. So the reason why people need to get born again, their spirits are dead and they need to get life where it was dead. That's what being born again is. Life comes into you, all right? Now, there is no power. There is no power that can overcome death. There is no power that can overcome death except for life. There's no power that was able to overcome death, spiritual death, except for life. Now, in about 10 weeks, I checked on my calendar, it's going to happen. In about 10 weeks, the grass is going to start turning green again. In about 10 weeks, the birds are going to start, you know, little baby birds are going to be born. In about 10 weeks, the trees are going to start budding and we're going to have leaves again. And in about 10 weeks, the weeds are going to start growing again. Yep. And in about 10 weeks, Brenton's going to call you up on the phone and say, hey, would you like to cut the lawn once a month? Because if y'all sign up, that's all it takes. Because in 10 weeks, you're going to have life. New life overcomes the death of winter, right? In about 10 weeks, that's what happens. It happens every year, okay? Now, it's only natural Jesus would use the same descriptions, the same birth process so we could get it. Because listen, the only way you beat the death is by birth. The only way this death gets beaten is by birth, by life. It's the only way it changes. Life has to do it. You have to have life come into you. Okay? That's the only way. So Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, he's telling Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is one of the leaders, and he ought to know this. He's an Old Testament guy. I'm pretty sure he was really smart, smarter than a fifth grader, but he didn't get it. Now, trick question. How many people were born again in the Old Testament? Nobody. Abraham? Uh-uh. Moses? Uh-uh. Isaac? David? None of them. Nobody was born again in the Old Testament. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nobody was born again until. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, he would forgive people's sins. Many times he turned around and he said, your sins are forgiven, right? Remember those stories? Your sins are forgiven. But were any of them born again? Did they have light and life come, birth come in here? Nope. Not until Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, all right? And that's what it took to get life for people who are spiritually dead. Jesus had to die on the cross and had to have resurrection life. That's what it took, all right? So Jesus overcome death. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look over at John 14. Just flip over a couple more pages. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Everybody say also. The works that I do, this is Jesus, the works that Jesus do, you will do also, all right? And greater than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, what's that mean? Jesus is saying, y'all people are going to do works like he does. Now, I can tell you, I haven't seen some of this, some I have, but we have some wonderful ministers present on this earth. Reinhard Bonnke, eyes, miracles, blind eyes open. Christopher Lam, he's constantly having people's deaf ears open. I remember David Hogan, the dead are raised. So those are kind of the same works Jesus did, right? All right? They're still going on. I'd like to see more of that, and we'll talk about that some other day. So he says, you'll do the works that I do. So are we having that happening? Yep. Okay. But the one that gets me is says, you'll do greater works. Okay. How do you do greater works than Jesus? Okay. He fed 5,000, right? So that means, Brian, you're going to feed 50,000, right? Amen. Okay. What's that mean? You're going to do greater works. Okay. Here's what it means. During Jesus's ministry on the earth, the 3.5 years he's on the earth, number one, again, nobody was born again. Why? Because he hadn't died on the cross and he hadn't risen from the dead, right? He couldn't bring people into a relationship. They were still separated, right? During his ministry, they were still separated. And number two, nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen until the book of Acts. Okay, because there were some things that just had to happen first. And you know what it was? It says, until I go to my Father. It wasn't until I go to my Father that things were going to change. But once Jesus died on that cross and he rose from the dead and he was seated at the Father's right hand, that's what made it possible for new life. The new creature, that scripture we started out with, okay? Now, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's all the time forgiving people their sins, and I'm sure that was a good thing, all right? He's forgiving those sins, okay? But that wasn't all. That wasn't all that was going to happen, all right? Now, we've got more than first gear. You got to get out of first gear, guys. If you think that's all, let's get out of first gear. Okay, and go back to that scripture I read in Genesis 2:26. It says, by dying, you shall die. Okay, so number one, Adam died first spiritually. Right? He died first spiritually. Then he lived 930 years. So secondly, he died physically. Right? First, he died spiritually. Second, he died a physical death. Now, okay, this one's going to make you shout. Turn over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. It's like my last scripture here. Hallelujah. Don't shout because of that, all right? Gosh, I throw the Bible at you. You're so, you know, don't do that. Okay, you are going to be shouting. Colossians 2. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Colossians 2, starting in verse 13. You were dead. Spiritually what? Dead. How many of you were spiritually dead? Yeah, okay. You were spiritually dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut off, cut away, all right? Then God made you alive. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against you. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Jesus. Okay, so let me explain this. How many of you have ever had somebody pay for your check? Go out to eat and someone says, grabs your check. Okay? You know, they paid for your meal. How many have had that happen? All right. Okay. If you have never had that happen, let me tell you, it's wonderful. And go ahead and start doing it. Because, you know, if you give, it'll be given unto you. So go pay for somebody's meal. Okay? Second question. How many of you have ever gone to a small mom-pa restaurant? All right. You know, the one that has that on the counter, okay, so I go up to mom, pa. I love mom, pa. I go up and I give him my money. My check, my little check. And I give him my money. And Frank takes my check And because this is a little mom and pop place, you know, that thing with a little spike on the counter. And he takes that and he slaps it down. He takes my check and he slaps it down on that spike. Okay, what does that mean? Paid, right? All right, now, see these papers? This was an awful debt you owed. This is the bill that you owed. Okay? That you couldn't pay. That you couldn't pay. And Jesus walks into, I'm going to wipe out. I can do this. And Jesus walks into the restaurant and he says, wait a minute. I'll take your bill. I'll take my bill. I'll take their bills. I'll take everybody's bill. And then he walks and he takes these bills that you owe. And listen, you owed a death. Death. And he grabs this and he walks over to the cross and he nails it to the cross. Better yet, he takes it and he slams it down on the spike on the restaurant counter and he says, paid in full. Paid in full. He set you free, guys. That's what Jesus did. I mean, I just, dang, slap it down, okay? Paid in full, you're free. How many of you are free? Amen. Okay. Now, not only are my sins forgiven, blessed be, I'm glad, because I was a good sinner. Everybody was a good sinner. Okay. Not only were my sins forgiven when he slapped that down, he said paid and free, but the best part is he brought life. It's called new life. That makes you a new creature. You're new. You're different. Because Jesus died on that cross and there was resurrection life. It's called his substitutionary work. He did what we should have done. We should have been the one died. Okay? Now, how many of you know? Okay, this gets people in trouble, but how many of you know the day that you asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that your body didn't change? At least not right away, all right? Did anybody's go, poof, size 6? Nope. Okay. How many of you, your souls changed right away? No. That's something you have to do. That's something you have to do. And listen, it's so important you know this because a lot of people who get born again, they get born again this morning, and then the next morning they wake up and they have this bad thought in their mind. Or better yet, they still have these bad feelings and they just want to tear somebody's eyeballs out and smash their face against the wall. Okay? And they start to wonder if they're saved. They start to wonder, am I really new? I prayed that prayer, okay? I got angry at my wife and went ballistic, all right? I thought I was totally changed on the inside. You were, but that's something different. That's why, guys, you need to understand the difference between the spirit and the soul and the body. Because everything I just read, like you're having one of those moods and feelings and anger and you go, just go, brah, okay? That's not coming out of your spirit. That's not ripped their hair out, smashed their face. That's not coming out of your spirit, man. The real you. You are a spirit. It's not coming out of your spirit. Matter of fact, your spirit wants to get up and walk with God. Your spirit wants to pray. Your spirit wants to find your Bible and sit down and read the Word of God. Your spirit even wants to go to church. Your spirit, man, wants to hang out with other people of like precious faith. Your real spirit wants to do that. Okay, but the problem is, you know, rip their head, smash their face. Okay, the problem is your spirit's probably a little weak if you did all that. Because you didn't feed it enough. Coming on Sunday, if that is the only meal you get, you didn't feed it enough. If you don't know where your Bible is, I'll guarantee you it's on starvation mode, okay? So you need to feed your spirit. And you feed it through the Word of God. You say you feed it through the word of God. Now, let me tell you what happens when you feed your spirit. You ready? Here we go. It will grab your body and, oh, let me do this one. It'll grab your soul and say, what was I thinking listening to you making me say all of that and get all upset? It'll grab your body and it'll say, get out of bed, throw up your hands. We're going to worship the Lord. Okay? Matter of fact, you start feeding your spirit the word of God every day. And listen, there, I have had some days I had to do it 3 times during the day. Okay? Because I was ready to rip hair out and smash faces through the wall. All right? So some days you're going to have, do you feed your body more than once a day? I do. That's why I'm no sugar, Pastor D. Okay? Okay. Listen, the more you feed your spirit, it will grab your soul and your body and it'll kick butt. The more you feed your spirit, the word of God, it'll kick butt. All right? Now, you gotta learn what the difference is from your soul and your spirit. It'll just make life navigating a whole lot easier. All right. Let's pray. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. Pinch them if they think like they're sleeping, y'all. Go ahead. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has brought life. And most of all, we thank you that you have brought Jesus to this earth to bring us life. And he overcame death. Hallelujah. Thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you continue to open our eyes, open our ears, that we see truth. And we navigate this life a whole lot better. That we would know who you are and now who we are. I ask this in Jesus' name. And Father, right now I ask that you help everybody here make a right choice on the offer I'm about ready to give. Ready? If you're here and you have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus, you've never been born again. Because listen, Jesus said you must be born again. And it's real simple. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth. Actually, you surrender with your mouth. You surrender with your mouth to the Lordship of Jesus. If you're here and you have never been born again, you are spiritually dead, and you'd say, Pastor D, I know I'm spiritually dead, and I would like life. I would like life. I want to know that I have life. You raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. Is there anybody here? And you say, Pastor D, I would like to surrender my life and I want life in me. Praise God. So you all, okay. We're going to practice. Everybody, here we go. We're pretending. Because I tell you what, I used to do this. Everybody, you can look at me. Eyes, eyes, eyes. We'll pinch the person next to you. Look at me. Okay. I used to do this. I'm like, I go tell this person all about Jesus, about the life and stuff. And then I'd have a freak out moment. Ah, I couldn't remember what to do next. So I go, wait a minute, you need to talk to Pastor Jack. And I'd throw him at Pastor Jack. All right. Sometimes we have these freak out moments. Guys, this is the prayer. Actually, you can pray a lot of different ways, but repeat after me. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. Now put on the brakes. This is what a person says. No, don't say that. This is what the person says who's going to receive Jesus. They have to say some things from their mouth, okay? So this is what it says. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Important, to die for me. For taking my sins. Okay, put on the brakes for a second. A little mini lesson here. They got to know that they were dead, spiritually dead, and that made them a sinner. So we get them to say that. They need to say that, all right? And listen, most everybody knows they're a sinner. Okay? All right, so let's see. To die for me, he took my sins. Next one. Let's see. How about this? He took my sins so I could go free. I receive the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is now my Lord. I have received eternal life. I'm now a child of God. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. It's really easy to say, like, pray with somebody. And you know, I kind of mix them up and forget things and stuff like that. But just think about this lesson. And really, I was teaching, guys. This was a teaching. There was no happy preachy bunch here. Because people are dead, and if they die dead, they are forever separated, forever separated. And we want to bring them to life. So you need to understand this. You need to be able to explain this. Amen. Well, I preach myself happy. Come back next week. You don't want to miss the rest of New. Now, freeze for a second. This is the second Sunday of the month. We have, oh my gosh, way too much sugar back there. We have communion fellowship. I will need some guys to help tear this apart because I didn't pay attention how they do it. So I won't boss you around, which I love bossing people around, okay? And...